guys. It's me, Bonnie, your host of the Grieving Girl podcast. And today we have the one, the only, Katrina. I love the applauses we're adding. So now I'm going to do that
Adam's
for everyone.
It.
Yeah. Adam, really we're loving it. The applause. Give some for yourself right here. Good job. Good job. All right, you guys. So we are nearing the end of the season, which is kind of crazy.
It seems like you, I mean, this has been such a thing that you've been conceptualizing for so long now.
Yeah.
And season one was great. And how are we done season two?
We're done season two. You know why? Because I'm getting the hang of it.
She's in a rhythm.
The two virtual, like, cut some time off because I was able to do like an in-person and a virtual all in 1 week.
Okay.
And the setup is easier. I know like an amount of time to give people.
Right.
So, you know, we're just getting our footing here.
She's a profesh.
Yeah, the grassroots podcast is sprouting.
The little pot that cats that could.
Yes.
Got engines going.
Yes, we're getting up the hill. We're getting up the hill.
We're there.
So today, Katrina and I think are going to talk about possible, because like, I don't know if I'm actively grieving this. I don't know if you are. We'll dive into that.
Right.
Things that like you turn 35 and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to have kids. Do I want kids? Can I have kids? Am I married? I don't know if I get married. And you feel this like looming clock. I was telling Katrina, I was actually also having this conversation with one of my friends on the phone yesterday. So I just thought it was like an interesting topic. And if you're like, that doesn't really fit the season, then like, get a life. Like
the biggest thing that you've been teaching us all is that grief does not have a color, shape, size, or anything.
Right. Because I was like, are we going to force this round peg into a square hole or whatever it is? Maybe. But like also, this is a real thing.
Everyone thinks about it, whether they think one way or the other.
Right. And I think there is an element of grief in it for sure.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So do you have any like feelings that you're like, yes, oh, I'm definitely grieving that thing, or no?
So I've been thinking about this a lot since we touched base on this week's episode. I think I'm grieving the support for people who are choosing, I don't want to say alternative lifestyles, but the routes and paths that they go down that don't fit into this cookie cutter step by step how we should be living life. Like I have known from a very early age I don't want children.
Okay.
And it's never been a question in my mind, but it was questioned by everyone. My opinion was questioned by everyone.
Interesting.
From the start. And now we're finally getting to that 35, that time in life where the you weren't kidding, like you meant that.
Right. Do you feel like that comes from like your family? Cause like they thought like your mom who we love, like did she like kind of think she'd always have grandkids and now she's like, oh, are we not doing that? Wah.
I mean, she's in that camp. She would love grandkids.
Right.
She's not thrilled about the choice that I'm making.
Right.
I think it's more friends or people that bring it up in casual conversation that don't really think about the weight of the question.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. maybe people are like, Bonnie's a lost cause. Because like, I don't necessarily know if I've had anyone ever be like, well, like, you're not gonna have kids? Like, what do you mean? Like, I have not always been that person of like, I'm never having kids. I have been the person who's like, well, when I get married, If I have kids, I've always been big on the if, but like, you know, picturing that thing, saying it out loud, not necessarily visualizing it, right. Where like some people are like, I can see it. I'm like, well, I can't see it, but I also like have immense daddy issues. So I don't know if I erase the idea. Right. At 14. But I also don't think that I've ever had anyone like question you're not gonna have kids, like, well, what are you gonna, do this, are you gonna freeze your eggs, like, you're getting there, like, I don't know if I've had that, but I do, maybe I do it to myself, I don't know,
I could see that,
maybe that's like,
I mean, I do understand that like the absolute in my answer opens up people to conversations.
Right.
To be like, oh, like, because it's usually like, if, when, maybe, you know, right person. Like, I think there's things that answers that people are used to be hearing.
Mm.
And I think for a while, people assumed my, no, I never want children. Like, that's not the lifestyle I see for myself, as a, like, cool girl answer.
Interesting.
Like, because the feedback I've gotten, people have been like, you know, I can't wait to, like, go visit you in the hospital with your first baby and laugh and be like, hey, remember when, like,
right,
you were, like, laughing this whole thing off and completely say no, no, no. And I'm like, I'm not saying this for anyone.
Right.
But myself, that just is my truth and how I feel.
Right.
You can take it however you want.
You're like, I'm still saying no.
Yeah.
You can go, but I won't be there.
Yeah. 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 I don't like, know who you're visiting.
Yeah. Like, shame no means me. No means no. Mm. And maybe that's all. You know, where we fit in the season of like, let them grieve. Like, you've chose that answer and you're okay with it, and yeah, you're in it. So just like, let that be okay. Like, you, this other person across the table, don't need to be the voice of like, you know, but there, don't close yourself off. Like, opportunity, like, that's right, not your job.
No, not at all.
Unless someone's like, what do you think?
Correct.
Then you can share your opinion. Yeah, like, I'm always just like, okay, for me, it's like, oh, I'm turning 35. Or if you're listening to this after my birthday episode, I just turned 35.
Yay.
And I do feel this like weird 5-year thing, okay, happening of like, before I'm 40.
Right.
Or things need to happen by the time I'm 40.
Yeah.
And it's like, but why? Other than like, maybe I should get my fertility checked or
geriatric pregnancy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 35, we are geriatric. Mm-hmm. Better get out the orthotic shoes, because, you know, can still kick my face, but strongest I've ever been in my life, can squat 200 pounds.
Geriatric
baby pusher. Like, what? Well, you know, that's a whole other episode. I need to have a doctor sit here and be like, tell me why we're geriatric other than.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be antiquated, like, old school thinking behind what our bodies can do at this age now.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I would hope so. I'm like, it's because, like, people, like, in the 1500s were having babies at 14 years old. Right. Well, yeah, no shit, right. I'm geriatric.
35, it was geriatric.
Right, like, we were maybe living until,
like,
50.
Great life. Like,
right.
Glad we got those 35 years out of her.
Right, and now I'm like, okay, but, like, people live so long. So yeah. Is it just age, or is it, like, because you're less fertile, which, like, okay, but like, medicine and science has changed so much that I'm like, there are so many options still. But I don't know, the 5-year thing of like, well, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. But I'm like, or is it just that it gets harder after 40?
Understandably, I think that is, you know, part of the concern.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I just was like, you know, the highlight reel. You're fed the highlight reel from Disney movies of like,
right,
happily ever after.
Well, that's the thing.
And it all happens before 40.
Right.
So like, I'm like, oh, well, ooh. I mean, I have fabulous friends, great jobs, very fine in what I'm doing, very content. And then I'm still like, but I didn't do those two things that society has said since I was 3 that need,
correct,
to happen.
Well, we don't really, society, we don't really champion the unmarried person, male or female.
Mm.
We don't celebrate the woman that started her own personal training business or bought herself a house,
right,
as much as we do the couple getting married,
the baby
couple
shower,
having a baby, the weddings, the showers. And I love my people and I love celebrating them in those moments.
Right.
There's nothing on the flip side.
Right. Right. So it makes you feel like you haven't done what you're supposed to do.
You haven't checked off boxes. You haven't hit the milestones.
Right.
We're just like these, you know, sad spinsters.
Spinsters.
With no men's and no babies.
We're Eloise and Penelope from Bridgerton. The spinsters.
Gladly,
I mean, sign me up. Yeah. It's just a very interesting thought that I've been having as I get closer to the 40-year-old mark. And again, it's not something that I've ever been like, I need to be a mom. Like, we have those friends who are like, that's what I've always wanted to do. That's what, And maybe it's because my mom was so great. I don't know that I've just never even been like, when I'm a mom, I'm going to do this instead. I don't know. Or like.
No, I think a big part of.
Oops. I've never really thought about having kids. It doesn't mean I want them. Maybe I'm selfish. I don't know.
Well, and I think that's another word that gets attached to it. Is like this selfish lifestyle of like, I'm going to live my life for me.
Which is amazing.
Which is great. I feel like it's unselfish of me to not choose to bring someone into this world that I'm not completely absolute about.
Right.
The if and wondering and thought process should be so deep by right. making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, yeah, I've never had those, I don't know what they call them, maternal instincts.
Sure.
Like the need. I don't feel a hole missing. I don't feel that I wouldn't be complete.
Right. Right.
Making that.
Sure. Totally. See, like, over the weekend, we had the dance recital, mm-hmm. and there were, like, little teeny tiny baby nuggets. And this happens, funny enough, it happens more with my niece than it did with my nephews. And I just think it's where I am in life different, where I'm like, oh, that is cute. Oh, like, I could be a mom.
Like, the baby
that
fever.
Would be,
like,
yeah, that wow, would be fun. Yeah, like, the little kids, like, doing the, yeah. you know, they're just, like, so stinking cute. And, like, more recently, I've been like, oh, like, I could do that. Oh, I only have 5 years left to like do it. And then it's like, well, if I'm the 40-year-old mom, then when my kid turns 40, I'm 80. Will I be alive?
The math.
And then the trauma starts to show where, and we kind of talked about this last night. Like, then I'm like, well, if I do this by myself, because I could, what if something happens to me? And then I let my grief, my fear, and my trauma make a decision.
Right.
So we were saying, like, is that logical, or like, is it fear? Is it outrageous to think that, like, well, you can't make such a big life decision based on something that's like, you know, you never know what's gonna happen. I don't know.
And I don't know, and I don't have the answer to that. And I don't think there is that answer. I think it's just the thought process that also makes a lot of sense to me. If it's like that, it's that forethinking of what would I be setting myself up or them up
right
for if,
well, I'm like,
God forbid.
I'm like, both of my parents slightly I mean, my dad, circumstantial, I guess. My mom, 100% circumstantial, like never saw it coming. So it's like, well, the odds are not in my favor with the way that we leave the earth and the Kelly family. So I'm like, okay, I have this kid. And they turn 10 and something horrible out of nowhere happens to me. And then this 10-year-old kid is left to feel how I feel at 35. I can't get my shit together and get over it. And this poor kid could be left here. And that's like,
that's because you have, unfortunately, so much experience,
the lived experience
going through that.
But I'm like, so you figure out how to put that aside to like have a kid that you might want. I don't know. It's very, this is very complicated. So for all the men out there who have fucking opinions,
like,
what's that guy's name?
Mr. Buttlicker.
Yeah.
What's his
Harry Buttkiss from It Takes Two. Yeah.
It Takes Two. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the Buttkiss man from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Our life only begins as a wife and a mother.
Yes, and your vocation also. Don't forget, it's a vocation as a wife and a mother.
Yeah. And those are the people we have in the media talking about.
Right.
Two college graduates.
Right.
I mean, that's. Yeah.
Don't worry about your degree. Once you have kids, you'll feel like you have purpose, is basically the message he sent.
Right.
That's
I know. That was a heavy one. That was like, I think we all like dissected this all week.
I literally, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, that I can't be hearing it right. And like went and did something else. And it came back up on my Instagram feed. And
re-listen.
I was like, huh? My jaw was like on the floor. And I get it. We were in the Bible Belt of America where a lot of people have those opinions. And like, I'm here for the person who's like, I want to be a health. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. But to sit in a room of college graduates and be like, you've been lied to for 4 years. Right. You're not going to do shit with
this. It's the read the room. Yeah. I don't care what part of America. I don't care your feels on the subject.
Right.
Like, you're a public figure with a microphone.
Also,
speaking.
You have a cool job. Talk about, you know, what it took, like the sacrifices it takes from your family and whatever to like do what you do and like you can do this.
Go kick the ball and stay in your lane.
Right. Right. Like you could make you could have made the speech so great. And then you had to come for the women and make it very Handmaid's Tales.
Yes.
Woof.
Yeah, it took a dark turn.
Yes. So I guess a good question then that we can dissect together would be like, okay, we're say everybody's out to dinner and you know, we're with someone who's like, well, because like also this isn't kind of off the table of like all sorts of like you could have a hysterectomy, a this, a that. And now like the dream of actually wanting to have kids, it's gone.
Right.
Right. And then how do you support a friend in like that kind of situation where you're like, oh, shit, like it's not like. We've chosen not to have children.
The choice I didn't was made want for you.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you support a person in that way? Do you have any thoughts?
I have a double-sided thought on it because honestly, the medical side of everything I've gone through was solidified my feelings. I've had, you know, two major surgeries and one minor concerning the reproductive system. And I haven't been told that I cannot have children.
Okay.
But, you know, large parts of that were taken away to increase my quality of life and, you know, focus on my health. And the medical, like the counselors I had to sit down and talk with did not have bedside manner that I guess I just was like expecting. And I think because of, again, this mindset has been in place, I could remove myself a little bit emotionally. But so sitting down to talk about, well, the smallest of recaps, went in for a giant fibroid.
Okay.
We found an ovarian cyst. They took it out. Pathology came back. Was not a cyst, not something benign. It was a borderline tumor with malignant precancerous cells.
Oh, shit.
So that's when they were like,
I don't think I knew that.
We're getting you back. It was in the throes of, we were in parallel trauma times of taking care of
staying
sane.
Okay.
I think it was the same month.
Okay.
And so I had to go back in immediately to take out the whole ovary to make sure that nothing would be spreading.
Got it.
So after the second surgery, sitting down with the medical counselors, they're like, okay, so let's talk about freezing your eggs. I was like, okay, we can talk about it.
That's like a weird way to start it.
It was very just blunt and also, of course you're going to do this.
Right, like assuming that that's ever been in your life plan.
And
like,
I was like,
step one, let's say like, hey, like what are your thoughts
family planning
on,
for you?
Right.
No.
Please fucking, huh?
Yeah. No. It was, okay, so we need to freeze your eggs. And I was like, I'm here to listen. Walk me through it. Talk to me. Looked at these ridiculous numbers. And then, you know, very politely, it was like, that's not something I want to invest in. Mm. That is not for me. I don't foresee it being a thing. They came back across the table. It was like in a business deal. And they're like, well, you get a 20% discount because of the precancerous pathology report.
And not like, not a buy one, get one on your fucking
I got a
egg.
Coupon code because the equipment needed to go.
Oh, my God. Which is like, if you were like, yes, I want to do, I yes. How are you feeling about family planning? I'm actually really,
I'm really
like,
concerned.
I'm worried. Well, how nice. But just to start it off, you were already like, what?
And
thanks for the coupons for shit I don't want.
I'm telling you, I don't get speechless a lot, but I was trying to figure out a way to like verbalize and kind of like process in time and then be like, no, again, that is not something I have interest in. And also like, I already told you that. So now I'm feeling like you just want me to do this because it's money, 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 money.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be an extra charge on the surgery. And then you to bank them and freeze them for every year is this continuous cost that is not like if that is not something you want, it's not little.
Right.
It's not little.
That's half the reason I have not done it.
Right.
Because I'm just like, well, one,
it's an undertaking.
I cannot afford
and if you're not sure,
monthly rental storage unit for my eggs that I may or may not want to use.
Right.
one, I can't afford it, and two, I still don't know. So that's half the reason I have not done that, because of the price
to invest.
Wow.
So then I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, how can we flip this? Is there good that I can make out of it? I knew, sadly, many people struggling with infertility.
Right.
And I'm like, well, okay, that's coming out regardless. Can I donate the eggs?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I sell the eggs? Help me with this expensive ass surgery.
Right.
No, because now the word cancer is on my chart.
Oh, wow.
So the eggs are good enough for me.
For you.
But not for anyone else.
Okay.
Which I went back and forth a couple times with her, and she was trying to explain it to me. But again.
But also, like, all the testing that they do on the eggs now with, like, surrogates and genetic testing, I'm like, that's not something that they could do. You have someone willing to donate her eggs, and you can't, like, run it through a test. I mean, I ain't in medicine, but.
Yeah, that science is sciencing at another level. But,
yeah.
So I left just very bewildered and, like, okay, so I didn't spend money the way they wanted me to or offered me to with my amazing discount code. And I can't do anything with it.
Right.
And then after the surgery, I think we had like a whole another sense of planning, and they were kept coming back to like, well, do you want to freeze from the other side? I was like, I'm done with this.
Right. You're not hearing me also.
You're not hearing me.
Which, like, I think is a huge thing for people when they deal with medical situations, doctors, whatever, is just, like, that you have to advocate for yourself, because a lot of the time it's, like, you know, and we're friends with a lot of I have a lot of friends in the medical field, and they're all wonderful, fabulous people. It also, like, all of our jobs are our job at some point, 100%. Right? You do it every day, and you forget that you're handling someone with an individual journey every day, every hour, every 30 minutes, depending on where you're at. And it's like, you're not hearing me. You're not actually like sitting down, taking a breath, being like, I am dealing with Katrina. Katrina, how do you feel? Like, let's start there. Oh, you don't. Then, like, I was going to talk to you about this and this, but if you know that that's your choice, the table, then we're good.
Great.
I'll stop harassing you about it.
It was like at a desk at a, like, a car dealership or something. Like, it just felt so, like,
yeah, yuck.
Yeah, it was yucky before, for sure. I left with a bad taste, and that was what it was. But to circle back to your original question, and like you just said, everyone's on their individual journey.
Right.
I think the biggest problem with the question surrounding children, especially to married people, when are you having kids?
Right.
You do not know.
Right.
If she just read another failed pregnancy test for the 14th month in a row.
Right. 100%.
Why are we asking people these things if we're not close enough to actually already even know the answer?
Right.
If they're not sharing with you.
Right. 100%.
Then they're just getting, if they want that child and they're struggling or can't do it.
Right.
You're just piling on top.
Or, and you're also then, like, out of nowhere asking someone to, like, bare their soul, where, like, maybe they're not ready, or maybe, like, today's the first normal-ish kind of day that they've had in 2 weeks since, like, getting the last round of bad news. I mean, my mom had 3 miscarriages between my sister and I, and she did not talk about them.
Okay.
And I remember getting, like, a little bit older and she being like, I hate Valentine's Day. And it was like, I think I always assumed it was because, like, my dad wasn't there. And I was like, why do you hate Valentine's Day? And she's like, I had a horrible miscarriage on Valentine's Day. She's like, I held a baby in my hands. Mm. And I was like, huh? And I was probably like 15 or 16. But, like, she never talked about them ever. Like, I think that's, like, the one time she told me any details. And the rest, it was just like, you're my rainbow baby. I had 3 miscarriages. And that was, like, kind of it. And then all 3 were boys.
Wow.
And then my sister had 3 boys.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That's not a coincidence.
But she didn't talk about them. And that was trauma that could have been 30 years old, you know?
Right. But, I mean, that's still weighing,
like,
on her.
That,
and this date that was sticking out in her mind so sharply and pointed.
Right. So, like, you ask this person, so when are you guys going to have kids? And you're like, oh, it was the first day I was actually feeling, like, kind of with it enough to come to the social event that now people are, like, asking me shit that, like, I don't want to talk about it. So let's not ask people that question.
No, let's not ask people that question.
And yeah.
I just feel like we didn't know growing up, like, I feel like I thought the idea of like a miscarriage was something like so few and far between until we're in adulthood. And I'm like, the amount of people that I know of like forced terminations or, you know, miscarriages post or pre pregnancy, delivery, excuse me. It's just, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if that's like, because our, you know, the women before us raised us to like, be educated, go to school, like use your words, whatever. And like, you know, not that my mom came from a super like silent generation, but she still was like Catholic school, get married, have a family.
Well, you don't talk about the bad
still,
stuff.
Right. Still a career woman, but she didn't go to college. She wanted to go to college. And, you know, someone said to her, well, how are you going to pay for that? And that was it. She
End of discussion.
Which is so heartbreaking. That's going to make me sad.
I mean, yeah. Like, it is heartbreaking because to think that, just back to Butthead's speech, to think that you have to make a choice between the two.
Right. And it was like, well, who's going to pay for that? So she was just like, okay, I'll just. And she had a great career. I mean, she was at the same law firm for 30 years, but she always wanted more. I don't know why I'm getting emotional over this. I think it's because she just had years left where she like would take little classes at Harvard online, and she would like tell us about her course that she was taking. And it was just like immediately stifled by the generation she was born into, where I'm like, had she been 20 years later, she would have been like somewhere going to school, getting a 4-year degree, maybe more. Who knows? Like,
a master's for those efforts that she. But the fact that she did those things for herself,
right?
Like college education does not define anyone,
right? 100%
Clearly didn't stop her.
Yeah,
and she was loved at that law firm,
right?
And was still doing things on the outside,
right,
to learn and better herself in whatever way.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Right.
I mean, that is independence.
Yeah,
that is okay. A choice back then didn't go the way I wanted, but I'm gonna make my life how I want it now.
Right.
Like that's the true dream of having confidence in your direction of life.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. It's all wild. Yeah. So I just feel like she was just like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to go have kids. And then, you know, she also just was like, well, we can't talk about the fact that I can't have more kids. Like I might only have one kid. Is that enough? And it's like, it's more than enough. Yeah, it's more than enough. But I think she just like wanted more, and then she couldn't. Yeah. And so she probably felt like we can't tell anybody, or I don't know. I don't really.
Well, again, it's that stigma of.
Right.
If you don't have the 2.5.
Right.
Children running around the house. Like.
Right.
Did you fulfill your vocation enough?
Right. Yeah. And now we just have like women who are educated in women's health.
Mm-hmm.
We have Instagram. We have social media where like people with voices who are not afraid to say like, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Are finally sharing podcasts, people sharing stories, women who are not afraid to share and upset people.
Right. To rock the boat against what they're thinking.
Right. So like now I feel like there are just more conversations happening.
I agree.
We have more female doctors dealing with female reproductive systems who are like, oh yeah, girl, my cramps run down into my kneecaps also. You're not alone in that.
Mm-hmm.
Where a man's probably like, what do you mean it goes into your kneecaps? I'm like, bitch, I got cramps from my knees all the way up into my
the whole body.
Knockers.
Have you seen men try on these like false menstruation like what do they call it? Like
yeah, it's like a simulator.
A simulator, thank you. And they're not even at like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And they're like, turn it off.
Yep. Put that should be part of health class.
Yes.
That should be part of health class.
We don't need the condom on the banana.
We need
the boys to feel.
Right. You feel bad about your day? She's got cramps. Here's what it feels like. And she's like sitting in social studies class.
Right.
Oh my God. The worst. It was the worst. Still is the worst. But it was
still the worst. But now at least we have the like independence and strength to be like, I'm not going to do this today because I need to take care of myself.
Right.
Back then it was.
Right. You can't miss school. I mean, like you can, but like not that much.
No.
Being a woman is hard.
Shit ain't easy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just felt like this was an interesting part of my birthday this year. And it was just so eye-opening to have a conversation with my friend who literally turned 35 over the weekend. And she said that. And I was like, you are not alone in this. Because it has been in the back of my head of just like, if I'm going to freeze, I need to do it soon. Do I want kids? What if something happens to me? Maybe I should go on a date. And it's like, well, I don't want to go on Bumble. It's a spiral. It's a spiral.
That's an avalanche for sure.
Where I'm like, I think if I did meet the right person and like that was it, I'd be like, yes, let's have kids. But because it's not there, I'm like, cutting it off now? Do you know what I mean?
I do. I don't think timeline. It should be anything that you feel is like a forced
right
thing.
Yeah.
And to the, you know, right person thing, that was a huge part of it for me as well, how it affected different relationships. Mm. With a partner for 7 years, I thought he was my life partner. That was one of the key factors that we were so on the same page.
Okay.
That children were never in the future for us.
A non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable. And it was so refreshing to have that weight off. There was no, like, you know, even when people would ask us, because we were together for so long, well, when's the wedding? When's the kids? Like, depending on what mood we are in, like, one of us would answer like, yeah, in 6 months, like, you know, or just like
just give them something,
just shut up and go away. Right. Or just, you know, see the look on their face when they both say no, we actually have no interest.
Right.
And then people,
it's like, why is it shocking?
They never respond. They like don't have anything to give back to that,
which is like, cool, like you're gonna get to travel. That's you're gonna get thing. To do all these things that you've like wanted to do. Like, you're not grieving. That's it. That's what, like, you're not, not you're sharing, solid in your cover in your right. decision. It's like, what am I grieving? The fact that you're not having kids? Yeah. Like, it's so weird.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. Oh, and my least favorite one is like, well, who's gonna take care of you when you're old? Or who are you gonna be with when you're old? And I'm like
let me know when I'm old.
Yeah. What I need to worry about 50 years from now. You're concerned about right. who is going to be buying my wine for me in 50 years. Like, I'm going to get it figured out. Right. Like, it's
Instacart.
Like, yeah, I'm going to surround myself with the people and kind of family that right. I want to build.
Right. Yeah, like,
no one says you're just going to, like, grow and die alone without children.
Right. And also, like, caretakers come in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my Aunt Terry, she died of a brain tumor, and she was a single city living girl, spinster queen of cheetah print and high heels and cocktails. Honestly, I wish she still was here and lived in Center City, because she'd be a great addition to the group.
I would
be like, we're going out with Tara and we're going and we're gonna get martinis. It's gonna be a grand old time. Like, honestly, yeah. It's like, now that I live here, it's like more sad because she really loved
to have her join.
Well, I'm like, oh, we were like kindred spirits a little bit in that way, but like, she was surrounded by her girlfriends.
I mean, everything you just described, I'm like, check, yeah. body.
The people who took care of her were her family, like her sister and my mom and my sister and her girlfriends.
Right.
She had five or six girlfriends, and like, that's who was with her at the end. Caretakers come in all shapes and sizes, not just your kids. Also, like, have somebody else, because it's already going to be shitty enough for your kids. Like, don't put that on your
truly
kids. That's why we have doulas, end-of-life doulas.
Yes.
I want to get one of those on the podcast. I know one.
That's got to be a very interesting career path.
Yeah. My friend Elliot, who is an actor, like, literally went on this, you know, other path and journey on the side.
Wow.
And I'm like, we need to discuss this.
Yeah, that's heavy. I'd like to hear that point of view.
Yeah. And I think, like, experience some loss in the family, and maybe that it really does make you, like, think about everything.
Yeah.
Like, I know how to, you know, essentially embalm you if you want to.
Okay. Let's not go down that road.
Because, you know, I just, like, needed to know. Yeah. I, like, needed to know what happens to the body and, like, what happens and what happened. And I now know so much.
I feel like more than you should. But
probably. At first second, I was like, should I be a funeral director? And I was like, no, girl, you will cry too much. You will look at the people and you will cry. You will be horrible at that job. Great with the planning. Keep her away from the crowd.
Somebody's going to come in with their, like, mom or aunt's cheetah scarf, and then you lose it. Yeah. Run out of the home, and like, then they have no one
gotta
to help them.
We got to go row by row. Just sobbing. Yeah, you got to keep me in the office.
Well, the other part to parents, too. like having an estranged parent.
Right.
Kids don't grow up having to love you.
That's
that does not mean because you give birth to someone that they're going to be there for the rest of your life. My parents have done it. I have a fantastic relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
And my mom did amazing things as a single mother.
Right.
And like, we're good. We're thick as thieves. We'll be there till the end of time.
Yeah.
That's not the same for everyone.
Right. No, it's so true.
And that's a whole other pile of grief
mm-hmm.
that you don't take into account. Because you assume you take those steps, you get married, you kids. Okay, that's happily ever after. Everything's fine.
Right.
That ain't how it goes.
Right. No, that's so real. Because you know why? Life be lifin'. Life just throws you shit you don't see coming.
No, if there was a playbook, that'd be one thing. But
right. Well, that's the thing. I'm like, if I could have a kid on my own and be like, and I will live to 95, I would do it. I would have, but I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like my sister and I always say this, and I know we know it's not true, but that's how we feel mm-hmm. of like our average life expectancy is like 50 something based on the average of our parents when they died, which is like, again, we can't really do that because no. like whatever, but we do. And I'm like, well, I can't have a kid now and then peace out at 55 and leave them alone at 20.
Yeah.
That's mean. Well, and it's mean because I've lived it and it's horrible. Well, you know what I mean? The yes. conscious decision. But also, like, there are so many people out there who are, they've chosen to do the path and journey themselves. And, like, they're going with it because they have the freedom to do so in their mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I'm just, like, scared shitless, so I won't.
Yeah, I mean, you have a block up, and yeah. that block could completely go away.
Yeah,
like you said, with it or could. Without the right person, or right. with another year on this earth,
right? And maybe some therapy, where people are like, "Bonnie, it's gonna be okay."
This couch is your therapist.
It is. You know, this is a therapist. The microphones, the podcast is my therapist, mm-hmm. And working out is my therapist, and sometimes a journal, but. Yeah, that's my feeling on it. But I never, ever look at other people who choose to do it themselves and have that feeling. I'm like, how badass. I'm like, yes, you want it. You go get it. Right. I'm like, I'm cheering you on. And then meanwhile, I'm like, I could never do that for my, like me, Bonnie, mentally. I could never. But I'm like, yes, never right. have that thought.
No, I'm going to champion you.
Yeah.
And like, I completely respect
that. And remove myself.
Right. But that I'm on the other side of the street.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is interesting, and to which I say, let me grieve. It has nothing to do with you, and I love all of anybody's choices. I'm everyone's champion, but like in my body, I'm like, well, that is my grief.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, let me grieve. I'll figure it out.
Or just let me live life.
Right.
Like, let me figure out what avenue you want to go down.
Yeah, totally.
So you could figure that out, that answer. You could never figure out that answer.
Right. I'll figure it out in my life review. Mm. You know? Did you know when you die, you do a life review? Apparently. Allegedly.
Yeah, what? You sit down with a counselor and they...
you show up, you die, and you show up to, like, I don't know, let's call it the Starbucks counter, and they're like, oh, you're checking in? And they're like, oh, yes, here's your coffee, and also over there at that table is a man. You have to have your... He has a briefcase. He, like, opens it up, and he's like, let's talk about it. And before you go to the pearly gates, you have to do a life review.
Wow.
I know. This is what all the
people... That's making me flip through images in my mind that I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, the life review. I'm like, well, what moments are the big moments? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It could be the smallest moment that it was a big moment.
Or like in the Good Place.
Yes.
With Kristen Bell.
Yes.
Right? That,
and yeah.
They give you that. It's just like a number total.
Yeah.
You're in the green or in the red. And like, I don't know. I don't think I want my review. Not yet.
No. We're not having life reviews until like 60 years from now. Because that'll put us at... over 100 years old, and I feel like that I would be like, I gotta go, I'm tired.
Yeah, I mean, we said last night, I feel like 90's tired.
Between 90 and 100, I am good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Celebrate me.
Yeah.
All right, well, y'all, I feel like this was a good conversation.
I agree.
You know, don't ask people when they're having kids, and if people say we're not having kids, say, oh, cool, period. Like,
we don't need to dissect.
Yeah, we don't need to dissect. You'll know if you're that friend because you'll already know the answer. It always comes down to that.
Yeah.
Of like, in like the let them grieve
mm-hmm.
conversations I've been having. It's just like, read the, like, do some, go inside, go deeper. Am I the person that needs to be the one asking these questions? Even if you are the best intentioned, you know, like.
Well, this is, I don't think there's not malintent.
Right. But it's like.
They just don't think of the weight of the question.
Right. Like, you love me. I know you love me. Mm-hmm. And I know you're worried and you want to know. But you know that there is somebody closer that has it.
Right.
Let them have it. You have someone in your life where you can do that for. Don't do it to other people. I don't know. It's just like there is a boundary. There is, like,
at some point it just became this weird, like, casual part of conversation that it was, like, normal to ask people.
Yeah.
Which I've never. It's strange.
It is. It's very strange.
Because if you don't like my answer, you shouldn't have asked me.
Period. As the kids say, yup. It's a new one.
I love what the dance kids teach you, because then I learn by proxy.
I'm so educated. Yup. Period. Low key. Bet. I think Bet's old. I think Bet's old. Yeah. Bet is in with Chugi.
Nah. Oh, that's back with Chugi.
Yeah.
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 No, no, no.
All right. On that note, cheers.
Cheers,
to the listeners. Don't be Chugi. Yup.
Period.
Period. Bye.